everybody. Welcome to the Hallmarkies podcast and Merry Christmas. We're so excited today to be talking all about Christmas and a really fun new Christmas book, book of short stories, anthology, I guess you'd say. It's called All Hearts Come Home for Christmas. It is a Regency era book. And I have two of the authors of this book today on the podcast. I'm Rachel, and we have Esther Hatch is here, who's been on our podcast before.
Hi, everyone.
Yes, and then we have Joanna Barker is here.
Hi, super excited to be here.
Yeah, thanks so much for coming on the podcast. So what we like to do is to ask our guests to introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about how you were inspired to become a writer in your guys' case. So Joanna, since we don't know you, please let us know a little bit about yourself.
Sure. My first book was published about 1 year ago. And so thank you. And it's been a really kind of a fun, bumpy journey for me. I started writing when I was 10. So it's kind of been a lifelong thing. So I wrote my first really terrible little book when I was 10 years old, but I got so much encouragement from my teachers and my parents and stuff that I kept writing all through high school. And I wrote a bunch of little romances that I just loved, and I had so much fun writing it. And then I hit college and classes and reading, because I was an English major, and doing it day in, day out as a college, as an English major, just kind of took the joy out of writing a little bit for me, writing essays and stuff. And so I kind of fell off the writing track. But after I got married and had kids, my second boy was about 8 months old when I started reading a lot more. I'd kind of hadn't been reading a lot either. And so I started reading all these beautiful new Regency romances that had been coming out. And I just love that time period. And so I thought, maybe I could do this. Maybe I could try this again. And maybe I'm not as bad as I think I am. And so I gave it a try. And I wrote my first book really fast, which was shocking to me. I thought it would take me forever, or I honestly deep down thought I would write like 4 chapters and then get it out of my system and be like, well, I tried, it's fine. That was a good experience. But I finished my book in about 3 months, and I wrote it really fast. And then
what was that book called?
My first book is called The Truth About Miss Ashbourne. So it's a Regency as well. And when I was finished, I honestly didn't know what to do with it, because I was not at all anticipating finishing. But once I edited it up, I kind of started putting feelers out into social media and like joining groups and learning about writing conferences and different publishers. And finally I attended a writing conference and I pitched my book to 3 different publishers and found one that I loved. And so that's kind of how I got to where I am now. I have 2 full lengths out right now, and then this novella and this Christmas book, and then I have another full length out next month, actually. So
congratulations. That's great.
Thank you. It's been super fun ride so far.
Yeah. Well, you have to let us know all of the books. We can tweet them out and talk about them. That'll be really fun. So Esther, what about you? Your writing journey.
It's fun listening to Joanna, because I feel like we have the opposite story of I never thought I would be a writer. And I was a reader, though, an avid reader, and I just loved reading so much. And like 15 years ago, I thought, well, maybe I should write. And I tried and like couldn't get a paragraph out. So I was like, well, I'm done with that. I'm obviously not meant to be a writer. So I quickly gave that up and just went back to reading, which was what I loved anyway. And it was way easier than writing. So, and then kind of forgot about it. And then I had a sister-in-law who wrote a Regency romance and wanted me to read it before she sent it to publishers. And it was super cute. Her name's Paula Krimzer. And I fell in love with the story. And I had a few little ideas that I like pitched to her, like, what if you change this? And what if you change that? And she took those stories or those ideas and put them in her book. And for me, that was like an extremely powerful moment. It was the first time I've ever read a book that I love, but was able to change a few things in it, which made me super happy. Like, oh, I changed a book and it did go on to get published and it was in print and my ideas were in print, which was so fun for me. And together, she with her other sister started a writing club so they could keep their writing going, or a critique group. And I really wanted to be part of the critique group because I love this. It's called beta reading when you read a book before it's published. And I wanted to beta read what they were writing, but they said in order to be part of it, I had to write. So I was like, oh, I guess I'll take up the pen, you know? And so I started writing, and I took 2 years on my first book, which is a young adult fantasy, and it's a complete mess still. But the day I finished it, I realized I did not want to go back and fix it because of all the work that would be. But I did. I kind of caught the bug at that point. And during those 2 years, I, like Joanna said, attended writing conferences. I was watching things online about how to write and reading books about writing and about the different eras. And during this fantasy, I realized I actually just really loved the romance more than the magic building and the world building. So I was like, I'm going to stick with romance. I'm going to write 1,000 words a day and write a book a lot faster because I knew I couldn't do 2 more years. And I was like, if I write 1,000 words a day, I can write a book in 2 months. And so that's what I did. I got it done in 2 months, but not edited. So it took me 2 more months after that to edit it before it was ready to send to publishers. And I was fortunate and got signed with the same publisher as Joanna, and it's been just wonderful. They know just how to get the right crowd for the books I'm writing. So
I just think that's the funniest story. Like, if you're ever having to teach your kids about peer pressure, just be like, don't give in to peer pressure unless it's to write a book. Then
for a good thing. Yeah, and it's right. Okay.
That's
yeah.
Really
everyone
great.
Else was doing it. I guess yeah. All right.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PI, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know,
trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcast, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Really cool. Well, very good. So let's talk a little bit about, for people that don't know, Joanna, why don't you explain a little bit about what is a Regency novel? Some people might not understand what that means.
Sure. So the first thing I tell people when they ask what I write is I tell them I write historical romance. And if they have more questions, I give them Jane Austen as an example. So Jane Austen mm-hmm. was the mother of Regency romances, I guess. And so when I think of Regency, it's technically the time period is about 1810 to 1820, but there's a looser era around that, give or take a few years. There's a lot of different tropes of Regency, different expectations that people want to see in a Regency. There's the balls, the fancy dresses, there's the season in London, there's, you know, the country house parties. There's just so many different ways to play with the tropes in Regency. It's so fun. Mm-hmm. And of course, there's like the societal expectations of, you know, propriety and gentlemen being so chivalrous, and I think it's so fun to play with those rules and those boundaries and see what I can get away with and see how much fun I can have with them. So mm-hmm. that's usually how I explain Regency.
Yeah. What do you think, Esther, as far as Regency and its appeal?
I think Joanna really hit on it. It's the societal expectations, and when suddenly you flip that on your head and somebody's doing something they shouldn't, it creates these fun situations, a little bit of drama, some comedy. It makes, especially if we're writing in like a clean, sweet type romance, it makes a touch of the hand like a little bit more moving than it would be maybe like in our day, you know? Yeah. So I think there's just a lot of appeal to the time period. And it's really romantic. It's become a romanticized time period for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I just think when I think of Regency novels, I think of very dishy novels, not mm-hmm. necessarily eroticism by any means, but just like, I don't know, just really but romantic
tension,
and
like
dishy.
Some sexual tension going on.
You want to feel anything. It, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. So.
Romantic tension, maybe.
So how did this book, The All Hearts Come Home for Christmas, how did it come about? What was the process about that?
So our publisher does this every year. They've done it for I think this is the third year they've done it. So they collect some of their historical authors and they approach them to ask them to write a Christmas novella. And so I think they emailed me last summer about this project and I said yes right away. I didn't even know who was doing it at that point. And then when I found out it was Esther and Sarah and Anita, I was super thrilled because I love them all to death and I'm super big fans of all of them. And so it was really a dream come true to get to write with them. I kind of get to be on my dream team with them. So it's been really fun.
That's great.
It really was exciting.
Is it always a Regency or just historical?
I think it's been all Regency so far.
Yeah, so far it's been Regency.
Yeah. So you were pretty excited, Esther?
Yeah, I was just going to say, I also just agreed without finding out who the authors were. And I don't know if they ever told me, but Joanna messaged me and she's like, do you know who the other authors are? And I was like, no. And like, it's Sarah Eden and Anita Stansfield. And I was like, oh my goodness, this is such a good opportunity. Joanna and I are both fairly new, but those mm-hmm. guys have been writing for years and years and just have this great fan base. So it's been awesome.
We're kind of riding their coattails a little, but it's fine. It's good.
Yeah, a little.
Hey, I think all the stories are, I think you held your own. Let's just put it that way.
Well, thank you.
I do. And so we had talked off air, Esther, about how one of my thoughts when I was reading it was, this isn't very Christmassy. That was my one thing that I was like, oh, come on, more Christmas. Because I cover Hallmark movies. A lot of Christmas. But we were talking and that is one of the challenges because they didn't really celebrate Christmas in the Regency era like we do now. Can you kind of explain that a little bit?
Right. It was funny because we had this whole conversation where we're like, well, what about Christmas trees? And I'm like, no, they didn't have them yet. So really Christmas became a big thing with Charles Dickens in when he wrote A Christmas Story. What is it?
Christmas Carol. You're good. You're good.
A Christmas Carol. Thank you. That's the movie. No, yeah, A Christmas Carol. And really that revived or just made Christmas a big deal in England at that point. So when you talk about Regency, it was there. I mean, it was a holiday, but the hard thing I struggled with, it wasn't necessarily a holiday season as much as a day, first of all. So trying to come up with a plot that incorporated time passing, because you can't fall in love in one day very easily.
And very easily. Also, it's possible, though.
No, it's probably possible. I mean, I'm sure there's romance novels out there that take place in the day, but I would have a hard time making that believable. So it's about, you start researching and you're like, okay, they did have mistletoe and they did gather together as families and they had a Yule log, which, you know, doesn't really resonate to us anymore, you know? So it was very challenging. And I think for me anyway, I think what you kind of have to look at as you look at your characters and you look at your families and you say, well, they might have celebrated Christmas, you know, even though it wasn't traditionally super popular at the time. Like every family can have their own Christmas tradition. Mm-hmm. So that's, I think, a lot of times how you get it into a Regency era novel. Joanna, did you have anything to add to that? Because maybe you researched Christmas and Regency even more than I did, but
I don't know if I did more, but it was the same exact problem. It was the things we, you know, relate to Christmas these days weren't the same things that they did. No Christmas trees, Christmas cards, things like that. But as I was researching, a lot of it said things like the lower classes seem to celebrate it more than the upper classes. And so I tried to tie that into my story where I have my girl who's fallen on hard times, and she and her family are teaching this higher class man and his family about the traditions and things because they never celebrated it. And so I tried to bring that in a little bit to try and give a reason for all these Christmas traditions that normally they might not actually have. But yeah, it was kind of a fun challenge, not having to include all our modern Christmas ideas, but I really enjoyed it.
So were things like, I'm going to say plum pudding and wassail and stuff, like, is that all sort of more Victorian than it is Regency?
Well, they had plum pudding back then. Christmas tree. What was the other thing you said?
Wassail.
Wassail. They did wassailing. I have some wassailing in my book. So they, it wasn't necessarily I don't know if it's exactly Christmas. What we think of it as. It's just mostly neighbors going around singing and eating food together. It wasn't specifically
the same.
what we would think of it, I think. So
right. That's really interesting. I think that's cool. The one that I thought was the most Christmassy, I have to say, of all of them was probably Anita's, just because it had the ornament that, you know, the family ornament and the little girl. And I don't know that that made it more Christmassy to me of all of them. But yeah, that was an interesting thing to kind of learn about. Now you got me curious. I got to read the previous previous other compilations, because this was a lot of fun. I really did enjoy it, and so well, let's talk about. So there's four stories, and we're going to keep this spoiler free. We're just going to talk about a few of the details, and so it's going to be fun. The other two authors are Anita Stansfield and Sarah Eden. So I know if people are that familiar outside of Utah, but they're pretty popular authors around here, at least. And they have some really fun books that people should definitely check out.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the first story. So the first story is Christmas at Fallstone Castle by Sarah Eden. And I'll just read the little description, then we can talk about it. It's the Dowager Duchess of Kildare eagerly anticipates spending Christmas with her son and his family. Though their relationship has been strained, the Duchess is determined to heal the chasm. Even with the help of the widowed local vicar, her plan will take a Christmas miracle. But during this magical season, anything is possible, even two second chances for love. Anna, what did you think of this story? What were some of your favorite parts of the story?
Oh, well, I have read all of Sarah's other books in this series with the Duke of Kildare and the Lancaster sisters, and I guess brothers. Sorry, there's brothers in there. But I just loved all her previous books, and I love the Dangerous Duke Adam. He's such a fun character. And so I loved getting the chance to go back and see him with his family. But also in this context of his mother and him finding healing and her being able to find this happy ending. I just really loved that. So it was just a fun, beautiful story to me.
So these characters are in others of her books?
Mm-hmm. She has a couple really popular series, and this kind of helps tie them together a little bit.
Oh, okay.
Yes. So I highly recommend them. Her first one, I think, with this series is Seeking Persephone, and that's when Adam and his wife Persephone fall in love, and so they make a return in this story, and it's really beautiful. So if you haven't read it, definitely pick it up.
Oh, I haven't. That sounds really good. That's
my favorite.
She's a fun character. Persephone. Yeah. What was your favorite part, Esther, of this story?
Like I said, Seeking Persephone is one of my favorite books by Sarah Eden. So I did love seeing Persephone and Adam again, and just seeing how their relationship has grown, and they've got kids and things like that. And so that was a fun part for me. And then just getting to know the mother a little bit better, and she has her little romance. You don't often see a romance with older characters, so that was kind of fun. But for me, like, really the sparkly moments were still Adam and Persephone.
Yeah, it was good, because I think she kept him from being too unlikable, too bitter, too much of a Scrooge character. You don't want that. So it kind of humanized him, I think, a lot, having Persephone's character.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He's like a comical Scrooge.
Yeah.
A lovable comical Scrooge.
Yeah. And the vicar was sweet. I enjoyed that.
Super sweet. They were really, really cute together.
Yeah. And there were some nice little dishy scenes, like when they have their first kiss, that whole scene out in the snow and everything. And that was fun. And the end, the proposal, I guess that's spoiler, but that was really nice.
Spoiler. They get together.
Right. But I thought it was a fun little story, even though I didn't know the characters from other things, I still enjoyed it. And yeah, I liked Persephone's kind of sass. She was fun. Kept him from not feeling too sorry for himself, which I liked. So that was fun. So then the next story is The Heart of Christmas by Anita Stanfield. And this one might have been my favorite. I liked it a lot. I thought it had a nice emotion to it. The summary is, when a chance meeting brings together a gentle seamstress and a widowed banker, each lonely soul finds a first hint of hope. As their lives become entwined, it will take Christmas spirit to guide a broken family to love and healing. And I really liked the chemistry between the seamstress, I forget her name, and the banker. And you know, he's kind of in this one is the most Hallmarky for sure of any of them. And the home is probably why it's my favorite. they you know, kind of get to know each other, and just these little scenes of her like cooking for him, because food is love in Hallmark. And also loved the aunt and kind of her scenes kind of help with her and interact with her. And you could see, if this was made into a movie, like him doing tons of good smolder.
Oh yeah. <'Cause>
my favorite thing in Regency movies, at least, is the long British smolder.
Oh yes. We are familiar with that.
That makes for a lot of really good memes, right? And gifts.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Colin Firth kind of, I feel like he kind of invented the the long British smolder, but
or at least perfected it. He is good at that.
Yeah, it's so good. It's like, in real life, I think I'd be super weirded out. Anyone staring at me as much as they do, but I love it in the movies. It's so good.
Exactly.
So yeah, what was your favorite part, Esther, of this story? What did you like?
So when I was reading this, you can't help but read as an author a little bit, and I just like. As I was reading, I was just like, Anita really knows what she's doing. Mm-hmm. I loved the imagery in this, the hearts, and I don't want to do too many spoilers, but those ornaments you were talking about. And I agree, like this one to me felt, when I read it, I was like, oh, this is a Christmas short story. And the imagery outside, the snow, the cold, the ornaments, and just like the healing that came to this particular family and how that's part of Christmas too. So that was kind of my favorite. And I really liked their romance too. Like I definitely got a little bit of flutteries when they kind of got together, and which is funny, because I feel like there weren't a ton, like you said, there was cooking for him and taking care of him, and there weren't like dances at balls. There were, you know, like not some of the more traditional Regency things.
It's true.
But for some reason, like you just, right from when they meet, you're like, oh yeah, I want these two to get together. Yeah. So I really enjoyed Anita's as well.
Yeah, it was really, what did you like about it, Joanna? What's your favorite?
Oh, I love the whole thing. I was just going to mention, it's really funny that both her story and my story featured seamstresses, because we didn't plan any of that. We didn't really plan it. We didn't like run our stories by each other before. We just assumed we'd be fine and wouldn't have overlap. But we both had seamstresses. So I was a little worried at first until I got to read hers and realized that both our stories went in completely different directions. And hers was so beautifully written. Loved how she came into this home and like saw that it was broken and needed healing. And she just set to work doing that.
Yeah. Kind of remind me, I love the television show The Nanny. It might seem like a weird comparison, but I think the spirit of The Nanny, with her coming into this widower's family with kids that are kind of a mess, and kind of rescuing the family and bringing the heart into the home is, I think, kind of a similar dynamic. And I guess you could say Sound of Music is basically a similar dynamic too, but it almost always works for me. I love it.
Yeah. Or Mary Poppins, yeah. Maybe.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
A little bit of Mary Poppins in there.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. That's very true. So very good. Okay. So now we get into Esther's story. So it's very exciting. It's Tis the Season to be Daring. And the plot of the summary is this: Elizabeth Davenport has had quite enough of the London season. Determined to evade a parade of unsuitable suitors, she seeks help from the one gentleman who has no regard for society's rules. All of society knows Lord Hawthorne is not interested in marriage, yet he cannot deny Miss Davenport's unique charm. And as the Christmas season works its magic, their charade begins to feel less like play acting and more like love. So, Esther, I think you did a really good job with this story. And I know that I probably need to find another way to say it, but I feel like you write such fun, sort of a little bit naughty boys, a little bit bad boys. Like, he's not a bad person, but he's a little bit of a rebel.
He is a little bit of a rebel, yes.
Yeah.
And he just doesn't care what other people think of him. And in a society where that was so important, what other people thought of you. Mm-hmm. So it does make him a rebel, but it doesn't make him a bad person. And he was so fun to write for that reason, that the things that make him bad in that time period, they weren't bad. There's nothing bad about snubbing a high-ranked lady because you have a meeting with a woodworker, you know, but according to them, that was just ghastly. And how could you do that? So he was fun.
I mean, he's getting her to ride the coach
that
or whatever.
Be a little scandalous. Yeah.
I mean, it's out of control.
She drives the carriage and they're going fast and it's Hyde Park and it's crowded. And So that was probably the most risque thing they did in public where people could see them. And
it's like Fast and Furious Regency style. I mean,
that's what I should have called it. Actually, now that you say that.
Yeah. And he had good smolder. Like, even though it's a book, he totally did. He was always watching her from across the room and her crazy antics. And so that's always a win for me.
Yeah, I try my best at the smolder.
You did a good job.
Now that you say it, I'm like, I'm going to have to make sure I get more smolder in these books. But yeah.
Always, as Flynn Rider said, you got to get the smolder.
I do love Flynn Rider. So yeah.
Too. And I really enjoyed that. And plus, her just being kind of a rebel of her own as well. But it was a very, she had a modern spirit to her, which is always fun in these Regency novels. We can kind of, and not so much that it didn't feel believable, but you know, who can't love a fake fiance base or fake relationship, whatever plot.
Yeah.
And like the way that her mother couldn't really complain about it, but she would find these ways to sort of, I don't know, undermine it. It was very fun. And I really enjoyed it. You did a good job.
Yeah. One thing I loved about Elizabeth is, like, you call her a little bit modern and she's daring and she's breaking the rules and things like that. But the thing that I loved about Elizabeth is in this book, she's doing that. But her personality is very much like, I want to be at home. I want to be with my sister. I don't want to be out in society. You know, so she was kind of like Lord Hawthorne in that she wasn't particularly fond of society either. But she wasn't a wild, crazy person, you know, but she becomes that. She lets go of some of her inhibitions when she's around Charles. But I kind of love like their pairing. You've got Charles who just doesn't care about anything. And then Elizabeth is kind of, I wouldn't say she's quiet, but she is a little bit, she's a little bit quiet and she wants to have a home and a family. And that's where they kind of come together too, is that that's what both of them are looking for. And in a place where prestige and matchmaking is more important than having a good family, happy family life. So
Joanna, did you have a favorite part of this one?
Oh, well, I was going to say the carriage riding the carriage driving scene. You already kind of covered that. I really thought that was just super fun. And I love that it kind of turned that, I don't know, because there's a expectation in Regency where they go on a ride, you know, they go driving together. The man comes and asks her to go for a ride and she kind of gets to have a little bit of fun on it. So I really love that scene. And then just the last scene where they, spoiler, get together. There's a romance, right? I just thought it was so well written. And just the whole thing just made me laugh, Esther. Yeah. It was such a fun story.
Yeah. It was a very dishy read. It was really fun. I very much enjoyed it. Okay. Last one is The Christmas Dress. And the summary is, seamstress Nell Addington is thrilled when her childhood friend Jacob Hammond commissions a dress for his sister. But when Nell realizes her feelings for Jacob run far deeper than friendship, an unexpected snowstorm and some holiday cheer may convince them both that love is worth fighting for. So this was really cute. I love the kind of everybody stuck in this sort of house and the back and forth. And that definitely has a little bit of a feel of Pride and Prejudice, you know, when Jane gets sick. Yeah. That kind of thing. So that was really, really fun. And there definitely was a feeling on part of Jacob where it was like, why did I ask her to make this dress? Oh, no. And she was a very sweet character. Just that's the best way I can describe her. She was just very innocent and very sweet, I think. And I liked their dynamic together and her relationship kind of with the sister as she's trying to get her to, like, she's like, could you try red? Maybe red
dress. Something a little different, please.
Something with color, please. That's good. I like that. But how did you come up with this story?
So this story has actually been in my head for a long time, and I couldn't decide if I wanted it to be a novella or a full length. I really love taking a character that has been, I don't know, in reduced circumstances or has to work for a living and kind of finding a way to help her find her happy ending. So my first story, The Truth About Miss Ashburn, is about a governess and how she falls in love. And my second story was about a lady's companion. And so back in the day, there were only a few like respectable jobs you could have if you were a single woman. And governess, lady's companion, and seamstress was pretty much the basis. And so I was like, I need to round that out. So I need a seamstress. And so I had this idea of her being commissioned to make this dress for his sister. And the first scene was really easy to write and it was really fun. And then I kind of got to the point where I was like, how do I keep throwing them together? She can't keep having fittings over and over again. So that's when I decided she needs to get stuck at their house for a little bit. So that might be a little bit of a spoiler, but anyways, there were so many fun scenes that I was able to work into this. I write a lot of wintry books. So
yeah. And I like when he's going into town and he's like pretending it's not for her.
I love that part.
That whole thing was really good. So you're here. Why are you in this dress shop?
He's trying to be sneaky, but she sees right through him.
Yeah.
He's not very good at it.
No.
Or at least we all know.
Yeah.
We all know what he's doing.
Exactly.
That was really fun. What for you, Esther? What did you think stood out? What was your favorite part of this one?
So I did love the beginning scene. I thought it was so cute. It's just a great way to start the novel. I loved building a snowman too. And I think that's one of those things where I'm like, it's neat that she was able to get something kind of that we relate to into the novel and that she's teaching him. And it's a cute moment of them bonding together as they do that. So those are probably some of my favorite parts. And just I do love the family relationships too, like the healing that happens with him and his sister. And I love that she's like a catalyst to make their relationship even better and just their lives better.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's a very big thing in a lot of these Regency novels where it's like the two have kind of grown up together, thinking like Mansfield Park or something like Wives and Daughters, or which I guess is later, but that kind of a feel of a story where, you know, in Mansfield Park, they've literally grown up together. And then all of a sudden, usually it's the guy who's like, oh, she's actually pretty. I really like her.
Yeah, I love that. Well, the friend to lovers trope. Yeah. So fun to play with.
Yeah, for sure.
And when you think about it back then, it just, like, how would you get to know people otherwise? You know, like, they didn't have, let's go away to college and you meet with hundreds of other single people your age. So I think that's partially why, you know, these house parties and things that we talked about before, or your neighbors that suddenly look a little better, like, that was their small, except for the London season, which was kind of like going, I guess, to college and meeting a bunch of single people. But yeah, their worlds were smaller than ours are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it was all sort of more formal too, as far as, being in society, you know, you would officially start courting someone and then you would, you know, that kind of thing. There were a lot more rules than there are now as far as dating. So
yeah, definitely. Yeah,
so that was different, but it was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed it. I really enjoyed all four. I thought they were great. I think you guys did a really fun job. And, so this is definitely something I recommend. If you're looking for a fun, dishy read for the holidays and to get some romance, and it's just short stories, so it's not that big of a time investment because now we're all so busy during the holidays. And so you can just read a little short story. And then it's also available on, is it just audio CD that it's available?
It will be available on Audible, but it just isn't quite. Yeah,
oh, okay.
Well, probably by the time this airs, it should be on Audible.
Okay.
If you have Deseret Bookshelf, that is another thing, kind of like Audible. It's available there to listen to.
Cool.
And Kindle. Yeah.
Great.
Or Amazon, you can buy it there. Yeah.
And we'll have links in the description for all of that, and you can check it out. And that's great. So do either of you have social media at all that you want to share, or anything? So is there social media at all for the book that you want to share, or anything like that?
I don't think there's anything specific for the book, but I have Facebook and Instagram. So if you just search author Joanna Barker, I should show up.
Great. And we'll have a link for that in the description also. Do you have any social media that you'd want to share, Esther?
Yeah, I'm most active on Facebook. So if you find my author page, just like Joanna's, you can just find me under Esther Hatch and like my page. That's where I do most of my stuff. I'm doing giveaways pretty often. I also have an Instagram account, and my Instagram account is my personal and my author account. So if you want some of both, I'm happy to have readers follow that too. But that's Esther B. Hatch.
Great. Well, like I said, I'll have all that down below. And you can follow me at Rachel's Reviews, all of our social media, and on iTunes and YouTube. And you can follow the podcast at Hallmarkies Pod, all of our social media, and on iTunes and YouTube. And also, if you're watching the video, this podcast, this interview, you can get, I'm wearing one of our awesome Jessica Miller designed shirts, Hot Cocoa Overload. And those can all her designs can all be found on our merch store, which is really fun. They're not Hallmark specific. They're just Christmas shirts. And I really love them. And so if you want to support the podcast and get a really fun Christmas themed shirt, check out our TeePublic store, TeePublic.com/Hallmarkies. And check that out. We'll have a link in the description for the merch store. We also have our patron group that we have so much fun, and it's only $2 to become a patron, $5 a month to become a part of the Facebook group. So lots of fun stuff going on. Hope you all are having a wonderful Christmas season. And thanks so much, ladies, for coming on. I really appreciate it.
Of course.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah. So we will talk again soon, and good luck. Good luck with the book, and Merry Christmas, everybody.
Thank you.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
This podcast was brought to you by Hallmarkies for Hallmarkies. For more information about how you can leave your mark on Hallmarkies, visit HallmarkiesPodcast.com, link in the description.